This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Danny and Dusty.
My Uncle Gus is the uncle that liked to work the grill. As soon as he walk in the house, he's like, get away from that grill. You don't know how to start no fire.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
We're going to eat a hamburger, okay? Here we go. Chad, throw the match. Now that's a fire.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
I'm not cooking a brontosaurus burger.
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty with you on this Friday afternoon. We have got the show on the road. We're at the Oregon International Auto and Motorcycle Show at the Oregon Convention Center. It's going to be out here at the Convention Center today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Sunday is Family Day presented by Country Financial. Kids 15 and under attend for free with a paid ticket from an adult. You can save on tickets, a $3 discount, by donating 3 cans of non-perishable foods thanks to the Safeway Foundation Sunshine Division, which works to provide food assistance in the Portland metro area. Cam food will be collected at the main entrance. So there's plenty of ways to save. Get in. Have a great time with the family all weekend long. I've seen people with like little goodie bags that are already walking around here. There's a concept car from Tesla. It's a self-driving car. The only one in the United States that's here. It's pretty awesome. They have the motorcycle pavilion. They've got a ton of stuff, interactive stuff that people can be a part of. So come on down to the Oregon International Auto Show. Come say hi to us too. We are in Exhibit Hall E, right next to the bar. People are already coming, cozying up at the bar. And yes, the Pinewood Derby track.
And,
let's go.
We can say people cozying up to the bar. The one active duty military member we have in here, of course, has found the bar.
Yeah, if that's the least surprising thing ever.
Shouts to my people.
Yeah. We also had the Four Nations last night. The final between Team USA and Canada at the TD Garden in Boston. That was one of the most electric atmospheres. It was one that it came through in TV. So rarely does the atmosphere come through to your television speakers and you can feel it. You could absolutely feel it last night watching that game. In the pregame, you were, I'm guessing, doing a lot of the Blazer stuff.
Yeah, no. In the media room, so there's two media rooms when you go to a Blazers game. There's the big lunch room where all the Blazers TV crew all eats their dinner, lunch, whatever it is, you know, before the game. And there's, you know, I want to say there's 5 or 6 TVs in there. Most of them were normally they're turned to NBA games. Most of them were turned to the Four Nations game when it came on. In the actual media workroom where the media members go, the Four Nations games were on there. And when we went up to when we were watching the actual game, we have stat monitors in front of us. We can change channels on those and get the cable that's in the arena. They were all on Four Nations, too.
It was sweet.
Everybody was like, especially when it got down to, you know, after Canada ties it up 2-2 in the final couple minutes,
Then everybody was on it?
Everybody was kind of like, you know, the game's going on over here, but everybody's kind of doing the lean in and kind of huddling around the monitors around us.
It was awesome to see just how passionate the fans were. They picked up on how much it meant to the players. Mm-hmm. National anthems, that was a big one that people were watching. Canada's national anthem started. There were smattering of boos in the TD Garden. It wasn't overwhelming.
I'm kind of disappointed.
I'm not.
I'm kind of disappointed in Boston. Boston did not live up to their
Their
reputation.
They absolutely did. But they just, I thought it was good. I don't like the booing of the national anthem, but for any country.
No.
And just because they booed ours doesn't, we could be better. We can show them that we are better.
Well, usually when we are trying, not even trying, when we want to be better, we just, you know, this is going to irk some people. We just go, you know, go to war with them.
Yeah, that's not always the answer, Danny.
You know what? Historically, I would argue otherwise.
Not really.
It
for booing the national anthem, you're saying we should have gone to war?
War.
I love the way your brain works. Science should study it. Science, get on that. You'd solve a lot of crimes, and it'd give us a better look.
You just need DNA for that.
Yeah. There was a smattering of boos. They got drowned out. There were some Canadian fans that were there, and they started singing "O Canada." And then the national anthem, our national anthem, it was like goosebumps. And you're like, I wish I was there, because they had an opera singer that was singing. It was a long anthem. We did hit the over. It was opera singer, so it went over.
Yeah, that'll happen. My old squirrel moment, the Blazers anthem singer last night, the best anthem singer they have brought in years.
But the entire stadium was just belting out the Star Spangled Banner.
There you go. You love to see it.
And then right when it gets done, USA chants come over the top. It was like you could feel the energy in the building. And we put this poll. Would you rather go to a big game or be at home? And it was closer than we thought it would be, but overwhelmingly it was still people would rather watch it at home, right?
Yes.
That is one event where you go, no way. Being in that building, you could not feel any different. Like when you go to a Rose Bowl, like you can feel in the building, you can feel the energy. It is so fun to be there. That was one of those events, and it was the damn All-Star game.
Yeah, no, like a perfect example. Like, we all kind of huddled around our TVs and social media in the Olympics when USA France is playing in the gold medal game. And that was electric, like sharing that with like the whole basketball community online, stuff like that. But you're crazy to think that I wouldn't want to be in Paris and watching all the Parisians have to just swallow their baguettes as Steph eviscerates their soul. Because I would have been like obnoxious Laker fan last night. I would have been chanting USA, USA,
no
acting
doubt.
A fool as Steph Curry burns the building to the ground.
And then when United States goes down 1-0, and it's like, oh boy, this could be deflating. It was like the crowd, the energy was ramped up more. And then, you know, Team USA ends up fighting their way back in it. They take a 2-1 lead. Canada ties it back up. And it was back and forth throughout the entirety of it. There was so much action. And those guys were playing as hard as they possibly could. And then all of the sudden, it was just like that final rush at the end of the game. When hockey gets to that final like minute and a half, it is high stakes hockey.
Yep.
There's nothing better. Because the United States had like three shots in like the final 15 seconds where you're like
the final 2 minutes is it's 2-2, you know, everybody up there was just locked into it. And the goalie play last night was phenomenal.
Dude.
I mean, there were big saves after big saves after big saves.
Binnington, the Canadian goaltender, was
stood on his head.
I mean, he was.
There was a couple odd man rushes where I was like, "Oh, this is going to be a goal." And he stood on his head and made big play, big save after big save.
And our big old goalie, he did an incredible job too. Like there were so many times where it was like they're going to poke this in, no, and he was just scrambling. It was drama, and you could tell it meant a ton to the players. And then we got overtime hockey, and it was crazy to see, because you mentioned like the NBA people on this. There was a lot of NBA folks I follow on Twitter when that intermission between regulation and overtime. Mm-hmm. There were people like, wait a minute, they're playing an actual over. They're going to put 20 minutes on, mm-hmm. and they're just going to play this thing out. They were dumbfounded at that.
You're not going to a shootout. Like, what's going on here?
I was thinking the entire game. I was like, you know why the NBA All-Star Weekend will never work? Is because fans complain during the regular season about load management. Yeah. He's wasting it all right now. These guys, there's a report, most of the guys who played last night, mm-hmm. they aren't going to play, like, at least on Saturday when the NHL season starts. Mm-hmm. They probably won't play the first few games, like the first week, that they're back to the regular season. Mm-hmm. And I was like, NBA fans, NBA organizations, there is no way they would want their players to play that hard and expend that much energy for the sake of the All-Star game or even national pride.
No, and the reason why, and this isn't the singular reason, but you want to talk about like the intrinsic effect of what this game was. Last night's game was the most legally bet hockey game in the history of the sport.
Yeah, and that was... I saw that from the 7 years that BetMGM has been around, they had more action on that hockey game than ever before. And that includes Winter Olympics, too. Because that would fall into, I think there's been two Winter Olympics in the time that they've mm-hmm. they've been open. So they said the most hockey game period, most mm-hmm. bet hockey game period. Yeah, people were engaged. People loved it.
I can't wait to see the ratings that came out of that. I bet you the ratings damn near doubled last night. I bet you it's for North America. I bet you it's upwards of 25 million people that watched that game last night.
It was an incredible hockey game. Like hockey fans, people that watch hockey regularly, puckheads.
Oh yeah,
they said they loved it as a not even a casual as a. I can't wait to see hockey in April when the Stanley Cup playoffs mm-hmm. start. As one of those guys,
yeah.
I was loving every single moment of it.
Oh, Vancouver for text line. It's probably the greatest hockey game I've ever watched. The thing was, it wasn't just the intensity. It wasn't just USA Canada. It wasn't just how hard they were playing. The actual game itself was a phenomenal game.
It was a great game.
It was a fantastic
game. Both goaltenders, everybody selling out, guys getting sick, injured. Like it was incredible drama. I loved it. It was freaking awesome to watch. And any high-stakes hockey game is riveting television.
Look, I mean, we all love the NFL and NBA. When you're talking playoffs, the NHL is different. And the Stanley Cup playoffs is the best playoffs to me when you're talking about how different the game is in the sense of intensity, the ability to draw in the casual or even the non-casual. Just like, let me check this out. Like, it is. There's something about it. It is intrinsic that I can't put my finger on that is so magnetizing about high-stakes hockey that it's just it must be because the action doesn't stop outside of, you know, face-offs and pucks going out of play. But, like, it's just go and go and go. And it's just...
When the guys are only out there for such a short amount
of time.
For
32 minutes.
But what they do is they expend everything.
Yes.
They unload it. And it's like what every fan wants to see their favorite athlete do is like just drag themselves to the end of the game. But you could tell they're exerting every ounce of energy that they have. It's cool. What I can't wait for, it's going to happen eventually. We know it is. Mm. There's no way that anybody can do it right now because of the momentum that the Four Nations tournament got. Mm. I can't wait till the dust settles. It'll probably happen in the off season when organizations are like, that Four Nations screwed us, right? Like when it's Boston, they're like, dude, we lost Charlie McAvoy. Yeah. Like that screwed us. Like our players were not the same after that. Like,
but the flip side
we hear fans complain about the home run derby in Major League Baseball,
changing
right?
Swings and stuff like that.
And they're like, our guy was ruined. We are going to find out down the line, like this happened. There's no way anybody's going to say it right now because of what the momentum for the sport has done.
Yeah, but here's the thing. The organizations might say that, but I think on the flip side, unlike the NBA and the NFL, where a lot of the organizations are run by businessmen.
Yeah.
Now, don't get me wrong. There's some former players that are in front offices and stuff like that, the John Lynch's of the world. but a lot of the guys that run hockey teams are hockey lifers.
Right.
And even if it does hurt their organization, you know what a lot of those lifers care about more than their organization? The sport.
Yep.
And even if they are frustrated,
that's the biggest thing.
I think that's the thing about hockey, and I think that is more true than in any sport in North America, particularly. They care about the nature of their sport and what it is at its core more than any other sport.
And I think as like with the NBA, we talk about what's wrong with the NBA. I think a lot of
that's missing.
A lot of what people gravitated towards in the 80s and 90s was, remember, Magic and Bird saved the NBA.
Yes.
Right? And so you think about that being, what, 79?
Mm-hmm.
When you go from that point and you move forward, it's like the 80s, it was all of those guys who just cared about the game, mm-hmm. and then more and more people started gravitating towards it.
Take the lead to 83.
It became popularized, and all of a sudden more fans were watching it, and it's gotten further and further away from that as the business has gotten
bigger. Go a step further. Is this the boom point for the NHL? Is this their like going off of tape delay? Like, is this the thing? I don't think that the NHL is going to explode.
All right, let's.
But is that the next step?
Let's pull this. Will you watch more hockey because of the Four Nations tournament? You can text 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Forward text line. This is Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we got the poll up. Will you watch more hockey after watching or being aware of the Four Nations final game? Yes or no? Very simple. Because I always say this. And this may be what ropes me in a little bit. But the Olympics don't do it either. I always say, God, I need to watch more hockey. And I don't. Like when I watch the Olympics or I watch the Stanley Cup playoffs and I'm like, this is exciting.
It's good.
This is great. And I'm going to watch more hockey.
Do you have a team?
No. I became a Colorado Avalanche fan for
a
while.
Right, yeah.
That didn't last.
Yeah.
I don't know if I watched a game
I think you got to pick a team in the time zone. I think you got to go Kings,
no.
Golden Knights, mm-hmm. or Kraken, mm-hmm. or Canucks.
Canucks. Sharks.
Sharks, too. Yeah.
None of those are doing it for me.
Really?
Nope. None of those are doing it for me. I'll just wait till Portland gets a team. Then I'll become hockey guy.
There you go.
I think I am hockey guy now.
There you go.
Even though I don't think I'm going to watch more. But I loved what I saw. And now
you love the idea of watching
more. I am more interested in hockey.
Yeah.
I can tell you that much. I will be more prone to flip a game on. And sit through it, but the reality is, when hockey is on, the NBA is on, college basketball is on, and I'll probably defer back to those until it comes crunch time. And I hate that for me, but I know that that's kind of the way it's going to go, because I don't have the passion for it.
Canadian TV ratings are out for the game.
Canadian Broadcasting Company?
Yeah, Sportsnet PR. 10.7 million Canadians watched the game last night. So a quarter of the country. It's 40 million, right?
I thought it was like 90. I could be wrong. I'd have no idea what
40.1 million.
40.1
so a quarter of the entire country was watching that game last night.
What's wrong with them? What was everybody else doing?
You know, right? You know,
what else you had going on?
Out in the boat with the moose and the
hoose. In the boot and going around and doing that.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to watch more hockey. Mm. I know I won't, though.
Well,
sucks. I'll see you in April.
So we had almost 11 million people in Canada.
Yep.
And we had, what, was it 4.4 Americans watched it the first time?
4.4 people?
4.4 million?
Oh.
Yeah, 4.4. Go ahead and find that 0.4. That guy's over here like, what? I only count for 0.4?
Dude.
But no, I think it was 4.4 or 4.1 million Americans. So I would imagine that probably not doubled. So we're probably anywhere between around probably 16 million, 17, 18 million, 16, 18 million people probably watched last night.
That's really good. That's really good.
That's a hell of a number, man. For hockey, that's a hell of a number.
What's really bad, though, is when it comes on the heels of the Super Bowl and people are like, well, 120 some watched the Super Bowl. 129 million watched the Super Bowl. It's like, don't compare it to the Super Bowl. It was kick-ass. It was great. That's a lot of people watching.
Comparison to Thief of Joy.
Yeah. So go and vote. It's up at Danny and Dusty. Will you watch more hockey after the Four Nations? Yes or no? 62% of the people polled say no. They will not. But... wasn't it fun?
It was a blast. I loved it.
Yeah. I wonder, like, one of the first comments from Dougie Fresh, great Twitter handle. I'm done with the NBA. We see this often. You're done until the Blazers get good again, and then you'll be back, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and Doug is done with the NBA, and he's probably upset with the direction of the franchise, and a lot of people are. But maybe you go to hockey for a while. Go to hockey for a while, and then you can always come back when the Blazers get good again. And you will.
I think General Fan does this with basically any of their franchises locally.
Yeah.
But also leagues go through this when, you know, well, I'm not watching the NFL. I'm not watching baseball. I'm not watching. And it's like, you're coming back.
Yeah.
Everybody comes back.
Yeah. Here's a text. I feel like it's a hard one because our closest team is the Seattle Kraken, and they're pretty mediocre. As an already hockey lifer, hockey viewing doesn't change, but part of why people are so tuned in was because of the investment. What's the next step in investing if a team isn't nearby? That is a great question. It's easy, really easy for people to invest in USA versus another country.
Sure.
Yeah, you're going to get involved. You're going to be a part of that. But where do you get that next level of investment? If there was one thing that I think they actually capitalized on that they weren't able to before. Like, remember when, you know, the Americans played Canada in the gold medal game and it was like, hey, TJ Oshie is going to be the guy, right? I think that the NHL is trying to do a better job of saying maybe our bread and butter is the Tkachuk brothers. That's going to be a slippery slope, though.
It is,
because they are wild cards, and they are very politically motivated.
Yes.
In that, I think that's going to be like a, I don't know if we want to go all in, but...
The NHL has always been, I think, the best league, even better than the NFL, in it is about what's on the front.
Yeah.
As opposed to what's on the back. Don't get me wrong, you have the stars in the leagues, like the Ovechkins and the Sid Crosbys.
Sidney Crosby, Sid the Kid. I mean, Russ doesn't like, we call him the Kid anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Ovi's out there, and, you know, after this All-Star break, he's going to be chasing Wayne Gretzky's goal record, and there's a very good likelihood that he's going to break it this year. We, you know, we sat down with the son of the owner, Ted Leonsis' son, who's, you know, runs the Washington Capitals, and when we were in Washington, D.C., and at the time, Ovi was on the shelf, and he just couldn't talk more glowingly about what he is as a player, but what he means to the organization.
Right.
Like, he is the Washington Capitals. And I think that's that's the NHL is much better at that, as being about the shield, as it were,
yep,
than it is about the name.
Well, Four Nations was awesome. Canada did beat United States 3-2 in overtime.
Damn. But as I mentioned before, the U.S. has won the last 31 Stanley Cups.
Yeah, take that, Canada.
Suck it.
Well, I mean, we need it. We wanted that one. We didn't need it, but we wanted it.
Yeah, I know.
We always want to have that.
Look, man, there's a lot of pelts on the wall. You always want more, but... You know, sometimes you don't get what you want.
Hey, folks, time is running out to enter for the Daily Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Entering's easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log on, and listen to 1080 The Fan or any participating stations. Listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour. You get your daily entry. The winner of the national contest receives travel for four. That's winner plus three of your guests. And a five-night stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination and the home of the biggest March hoops party at the Stadium Swim. Plus, $5,000 each for you to fund the ultimate viewing experience for the first two rounds of the college basketball championships. Contest ends this Sunday, so keep listening each day for at least 1 hour. For more info, go to 1080thefan.com. You're already listening. Dude. Go party with the boys.
Just go do it.
Just go with the boys. Go down to Vegas and have a march to remember, baby. Go do it. You're already listening to the fans, so do it on the app.
Come up with Horse Down the Web. It is an interesting conundrum.
Ooh.
What would you think if somebody broke into your car, stole your credit card, and then bought a lottery ticket with that credit card, and that lottery ticket won?
I won the lottery.
Well, that's actually a case that is under review in France right now, because the winner of the lottery ticket, well, the one who paid for the lottery ticket, is now offering the thieves a piece of the pie if they come forward with a lottery ticket.
I have more questions than answers.
There's a lot coming up. But first, here's Big Kuno with Sports and Update.
I hear they got some tasty burgers.
It's time for today's worst day on the web. With Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
Interesting story out of Toulouse, France, where a 500,000 euro jackpot is offered to perpetrators of theft. Two homeless gentlemen broke into a car and stole belongings out of the vehicle, including a credit card. And use that credit card to buy a lottery ticket.
All right.
That lottery ticket ended up being the winner. And the person whose credit card was stolen is now offering a share of the 500 euro jackpot if they can produce the ticket. The ticket has not yet been produced. However, legal experts in France are not sure who is the rightful owner.
Ooh, this is like a
ticket.
Finders versus keepers situation.
Yes, it actually is kind of a real life scenario, finders versus keepers.
All right. All right. So I think the guy who got his stuff stolen, obviously, he paid for the ticket unwillingly. They robbed him. That should be his ticket.
Well, but I think the lottery company would probably argue he did not. This
he
is the
didn't
thing.
Buy or possess the ticket. But then again, like here in the States, if you don't sign the back of it, anybody could take your ticket and take it in.
Yes.
And it's their ticket because you didn't sign it on the back.
And also, like, if you were under the age of 18, yet you buy a lottery ticket with your, like, an illegal or a fake ID or whatever, that ticket is no good. Even if you give it to somebody else, because it was bought under the guise of an illegal process. So a lot of these, like, when you're talking about, like, the big ticket lotteries here in the U.S., more often than not, there's a camera, you know, in the store, and they will use that as part of the validation process, because with how much money is tied to this stuff, they do everything they can to not try to pay the stuff out.
How do they know that the winning scratch-it was purchased with the guy's card if they have not produced the scratch-off ticket?
I think
though,
the store was probably notified, and they were able to trace it back to the transaction. So here's how it goes.
This is the crazy part that I don't understand, though, is that how do they know which ticket is the winner that was sold? If it hasn't been, it's a scratch-off ticket?
I think it's just a lottery ticket.
Oh.
It says, because it is a lottery payout, so.
Okay, so it was like a Powerball, not a scratch-off.
Okay.
Correct. So the victim reported the theft to the police and contacted his bank to block his credit cards. He asked if the cards had been used and was informed that at 3 o'clock that day, the thieves had used one of the cards to buy goods worth about 52 euros at a city center newsagent's less than 500 meters. God, I hate that they use meters for where his car had been parked. More concerned about finding his identity papers, the victim decided to visit the newsagents the next morning, explain what happened, see if the CCTV had the identity of the thieves. I hoped to at least get my papers back, but the newsagent said he hadn't found anything. He said he remembered two homeless men between the ages of 30 and 40 coming to the shop and buying cigarettes. Oh, and scratch cards.
There you go. Okay, so it is scratch-offs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He found their behavior suspicious because they paid with one card that wanted to buy something else, but it hadn't gone through, and they couldn't put in the code, he told the police. After scratching the card and discovering they had won the maximum payout, 500,000 euros, the overjoyed pair returned to the shop to collect their wings and told to contact the Français de Jeux.
So they thought runs, like the convenience store guys got like 500K and the register's like, here you
here
go.
Here you go, brother. that runs France's National Lottery and produced a scratch card. The shop's owner's wife said she doubted very much I'd find them because she'd checked the card and they had won 500,000. She said they were so happy they even forgot their five packs of cigarettes. Since then, the situation remains in legal limbo. The thieves have not tried to collect their ill-gotten gains, and police in Toulouse say Français des Jeux has frozen the winning ticket while the investigation continues. He has now invited the thieves to contact his lawyer. He says, why not find a friendly arrangement, and why not share it?
Yeah, this is a really nice guy, because obviously these guys are on some hard times. Not going down the best route.
Guy wants his stuff back.
Stealing somebody's stuff. What this guy's going to find out is whatever those guys stole, likely most, if not all of it, is already gone.
Yeah.
They don't have it. They're not going to keep it on them.
No.
They just took anything that was of value.
Dumped the rest.
That's it. And at this point, they probably are thinking, we're sitting on $500,000. We're going to dump everything. And we are not going to carry any of this any further. So, this is a tricky one. The hard part, though, and the sad part about this, is that if these guys won $500,000
mm-hmm.
and they told anybody about it, there's a likelihood that they got robbed, too. In that whoever has the ticket
they
now...
They can't claim it, though.
Whoever has the ticket now... Well, I know they can't because of the lottery, but they don't... Whoever robbed these guys, they don't know this yet because we're just finding out about it. Like, if that robbery happened that day.
Mm-hmm.
And those guys, who knows where this ticket is at this point? This is a crazy one.
So...
Would you share with the guys, though, if they were homeless guys down on their luck, would you share any of that jackpot with them knowing that they robbed you to buy it?
If it's number one, selfishly, if it's the only way that I can get the ticket, yes.
Okay.
Number two, knowing the situation, probably.
I probably would too. I'd have to get a feel for them. Are they like really? And I probably would no matter what though, and just be like,
what's an equitable share? 50,000 a piece.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're talking after taxes, because they're going to take 250 off the top of that.
France. I might get more than that.
Yeah, you get 150, they get 100. I don't know.
Equitable share is not sending your butts to jail.
They're probably going to do that. I will say, you are going to jail. But I'm going to put this in an account where it can gain interest, in the years that you are in jail.
The lawyer said that he told a local newspaper, La Depeche, not to be confused with Depeche Mode, he believed the lottery company would legally obliged to unblock the winning scratch card if it was produced. It's out of the question they canceled because it was bought with a stolen card. Those in possession of it don't need to worry. Our proposal is simple. Without my client's money, they wouldn't have won. Without them, my client wouldn't have won.
Yep.
It's only logical to share it.
Well, I think this guy is a really kind soul instead of, just trying to throw him to the slammer.
$250,000 in your pocket is better than none in your pocket.
You're damn right
it is. I think
those
guys need to find their own personal Jesus. No?
Rust is not sharing any of this.
Nothing? Depeche Mode reference?
Depeche Mode reference. I know where you're going.
I just shook my head at you, but I realized that you can't see me shaking my head at you.
We know where you're going there.
Yeah.
We know where you're going there. Rust isn't sharing that money, are you, buddy?
No. Not a dime.
Not a dime.
Not a dime.
You're sending them straight to jail.
Yes.
Straight to jail.
Just like that Fred Armisen meme.
Yep. I think I would. I'd cheer a little bit.
Break them off a little something.
Yeah, break them off a little something.
All right, coming up next, what could have also been our worst day on the web? There are thefts abound across the world of sports. Basketball, football, college, and pro. Oh, what exactly is going on right now in the theft rings, as it were, around the professional sports world? We'll get to that next year on Danny and Dusty, Today the Fan. Well, it's not just lottery tickets that are being bought with stolen credit cards. There's theft abound in the sports world.
Bum, bum, bum.
The numerous break-ins around the NFL, high-profile athletes like Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, and others. One group has been caught. Seven Chilean men are facing federal charges in Florida related to a series of high-profile crime tourism burglaries.
What's crazy is they were brought down by a selfie.
They took pictures with, like, racks of watches and all of the stolen stuff that could be easily identified. Like, they're wearing Chiefs gear because they robbed Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce.
Yeah. If they are Chiefs fans, that is a bold move. Just be like, you know what's even better than rooting for the team? Wearing their jewelry.
You know what? It's like something needs to be checked in the water in Kansas City if that is the case, because between them and Chiefsaholic robbing banks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good point. I think the safe that they have there is Bobby Portis's safe. Is that right? I think that was the
yes.
safe that they were caught with.
Yeah. They took the whole freaking safe.
Well, maybe that's where Bobby's Toradol was.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe Bobby's Toradol was in the safe, and when the safe went, he had to go to his assistant to help with his pain relief. I don't know. But these are dumb of all dumb criminals. They are apparently they're calling it a crime ring.
Mm-hmm.
And they would just travel around. And the whole idea about it was, look, we're going to be a moving target. We're mm-hmm.
We're not going to stay
just in Kansas City and yeah. rob all the Royals and the Chiefs players.
No,
they go to Cincinnati and rob Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. They go up to Milwaukee. The Bucks are out of town. It's really easy to know when these guys are in town and out of town.
Yeah, check the schedule.
And they were saying that they would kind of scout the area, find out where these guys lived, probably follow them home from the practice mm-hmm. facility, and then see who is home, who's not. And then they'd go back to, like, wooded areas, which most of these athletes have, like, a wooded area as their backyard, and come in through the backside and not to be detected by the authorities or neighbors or any of the cameras, and then just rob the house, do it pretty brazenly. They just, like, break a window, go in, get what they need, and leave.
Do you think that they confuse Bobby Portis for Giannis or something? Because they hit Patrick Mahomes,
mm-hmm.
Travis Kelce,
yep.
Joe Burrow,
mm-hmm.
Ja Morant. Now, he has been, it has not been publicly named. Multiple sources have named Ja Morant, but there has not been any official affidavits that released it. But Ja Morant was the Memphis. Look, nobody's robbing Desmond Bane. Desmond Bane dresses like I do. The man has a tech fleece aficionado of epic proportions. He's not come to the game iced out as opposed to one Demetrius Morant who.
I would venture to guess that the reason why they didn't rob Giannis is because there's always people at his home.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah. Even when he's gone, there's probably family there.
Yeah. And there's always somebody around. You know, and
Dame too.
Dame is an interesting one because his family's here, but he has people with him
Milwaukee. He did have a couple people with him in Milwaukee even last year.
Yeah.
He was staying in Drew Holiday's place last year because Drew was gone, and there's only so many mansions that you can get to in Milwaukee.
So that's probably why they went after Portis.
But Ja Morant is also a guy in here, and he's a guy who, look, I'm not saying that it invites this, but if you are somebody who's just iced out to the gills, you were making yourself a target. Remember, Paul Pierce was stabbed repeatedly when he was an NBA player and robbed on the street because he was iced out. Like, what's his name? The wide receiver for the 49ers was shot in the chest last summer.
Yep.
Going into the season.
Ricky Pearsall.
You are unfortunately putting a target on yourself, particularly if your movements are known and public. To where, like, memos have been sent out to teams I know in the NBA of, like, heightened security, particularly on the road, and being smarter about when you're being home, what you wear, when you wear it. Like, don't go to the club. Like, if you're going to Vegas, don't bring the safe full of jewelry and show out because you're going to cause problems.
That's why I love guys like Chad Johnson, who now nobody knows what
fake
is
jewelry.
Nobody knows what is what, because he said, I only wear fake jewelry because I'm Chad Johnson. You think it's all real. Mm-hmm. And so I don't have to waste my money on real jewelry mm-hmm. because you think it's real.
Yeah.
Because I'm Chad Johnson.
Yeah, and I eat at McDonald's.
He could be wearing real jewelry, mm-hmm. but nobody's going to rob him because he told everyone it's fake.
Yeah.
I love that. It's
great little mind game.
It definitely is fake with Chad, though.
I bet you it's
100% fake. 100% still wearing the fake jewelry.
Going off this, another crime ring has taken over Miami. And
no way.
Yeah. Carson Beck, formerly of the University of Georgia, who transferred to Miami to be with his influencer girlfriend, the Haley Cavender. They have had three cars stolen. One of them has already been recovered.
I think all of them have been recovered. Yep.
Was it a Range Rover, a Benz, and a Lambo?
And they've made arrests. And a Mercedes SUV from Haley's, the Cavender twins' Mercedes SUV. Carson Beck has a Mercedes and a Lambo that he got. He got the Lambo when he was at Georgia, so you get to keep that.
You get to keep that.
You got to keep that. Mm. That's good. And all three cars were stolen, and apparently it's like by some known high-end car thief.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, well, here's the thing.
Those exist. I thought that was only like in the movies.
Oh, no, it's a real thing, but also like you better get that in a container and like put it in a, what do you call it, a Halliday box to shut down the LoJack signal because you're not. Those things all have trackers in them.
Yeah, like. I don't know. I didn't think that they were real people, these high-end car thieves, very similar to art thieves, high-end art thieves. Didn't think that that was actually a thing that happens, but apparently it is. They've made an arrest in this one. I thought it was a proper low blow that Georgia fans were making at Carson back after that when multiple people were tweeting out, even his cars get intercepted.
That's a tough place to be. Man.
That is rough.
That's like, oh boy, what do we do with this?
But this is going to become. We're talking about this with professional athletes. It's even harder for collegiate athletes because in the professional sports realm, you are around athletes. You are around guys all the time in the professional sports landscape where these guys are. Have the same amount of money as you are. You are an adult. You have financial planners, financial advisors. College kids, you're still going home. A lot of these guys, when they get to the NBA, their family moves out of their hometown.
Yeah.
And they move to wherever they're playing. In college, that's not the same thing. So, like, a lot of the guys who are getting a bunch of NIL, this is going to be a problem for them when they either go home.
It stands out.
Yeah, because you're still going back to right where you grew up.
Going back to where mom and dad still do the laundry.
And as you said, you do become a target. Yeah. I mean, that was Paul Pierce. When he was at Kansas and he went home to Compton, where Paul Pierce is from, he had another incident there. I mean, it can get real dicey for those guys. And when they come home with millions of dollars that people know in the NIL world, that makes it even more difficult for you.
Adding another layer of ridiculousness to have to deal with as 18-year-olds become multimillionaire business people.
Yeah, and that's where a lot of the universities, what they are doing is financial literacy and financial security.
Yes.
And that financial security goes beyond just, hey, what you're doing with your money to keep it safe. It is what are you doing to keep yourself safe in these situations.
Did you see the new Uber-like company?
That
is a security firm. It has been stood up in New York, Miami, and Los Angeles. And every single person who works for this company has been thoroughly vetted. I think it's $100 an hour. And they are all private or prior military. They all have overseas like combat experience. They're all vetted and insured. But like if you're just a normal businessman and like let's say you're going to go come down to the auto show and you want to buy a bunch of cars and you're coming down here with a briefcase full of cash and you're going to try and make some transactions. You can now go hire this company instead of like going and getting like a retainer, type security firm, which is typically how those companies work. You can go now get an app
and
dial up your private goons.
You're going to see some stuff working in that industry. it's going to be a lot different than you saw in Combat 2. It's like you're going to be going to weird parties.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to go into basements of places.
I would imagine
it's going to be wild.
This is like when you're
the underbelly of
possibly in high school when you drove 2 hours to go find your weed. But significantly more advanced. You know what I'm talking about. You know, look, man. When we were younger, it wasn't legal still. And like the places that I went with, like I've talked about this. I've smoked like maybe 10 times in my entire life. Yeah. It's not my thing. I've never been somebody who enjoyed smoking. But I remember going with a buddy who remained nameless with his older brother, and I was like, "Oh, we're gonna die. We're gonna
die." You drove 2 hours?
It was like an hour and a half. Yeah.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
No, see, that's what happens when gas prices are cheaper, though.
Back then, gas was under $1 a gallon, baby. Yeah, and I remember, like, it was a situation where you're just like, oh, sweet Jesus. That's what the kids wanted to do when they wanted to avoid the sticks and stems.
Oh, that's funny.
It's a terrible place to go. All right, coming up next, the Portland Trailblazers did indeed play the Los Angeles Lakers last night and fall. There's a couple storylines coming out of that game, but I think more importantly, what is coming up next, they are going to dive into the softest part of the schedule. The next four games, they will play the four worst teams in basketball. Which way do the Portland Trailblazers go? We'll dive into that in hour number three here on Danny Dusty, 1080 The Fan.
Come in through the backside.